Starting on Daf Kof Chedem and Aleph, if you remember the last Daf we left off with Rava concluding that Simanim must be Doraisa because of our previous Mishnah about Matzorot Tachrish Shel Shtarot, Aguda Shel Shtarot. So Rava concluded that Simanim are Doraita, and then he brings the Pasuk that seems to uphold his position, which is the fact that the Torah says that you have to keep the Aveda until the Baal Aveda comes and claims it from you. So the Chazal say, of course, how would you ever get back to somebody before they come and make a claim for it? So it must be, check out if whether he is a thief or a liar or not. And the Gemara says, obviously, how do you do this? You do it through simonim, shmamina. Of course, on the end of this with Beth yesterday, the Gemara said rejected and said, it doesn't have to be simonim, it could be edim. And we'll see in a minute that the Gemara comes back around to that. So this is not evidence or full proof that Rava, the drasha of the pasuk, is like that. But Rava says, if you say simonim doraita, then of course you would darshan the pasuk this way. Amar Rava, imtim salomar simonim doraita. If you say simonim doraita, of course the Gemara jumps up and says, what do you mean imtim salomar? Hapashit le simonim doraita. Rava just concluded that simonim are doraita. So how could it be all of a sudden that he's saying imtim salomar if you say they are doraita? Mishum, because you can learn the pasuk like we learned it before, that it's not talking about simanim, but rather talking about edim. So if that's the case, then it could be two options. There's an option that edim are the evidence, or simanim are the evidence, and because of that, it's not conclusive that simanim are deoraita. But nevertheless, if you say that simanim are deoraita, what happens if you have a competition between two parties that are coming to collect an item? Simanim v'simanim. If two people show up with the simanim of an object, then yaniach, then you would leave it, because they're on equal footing. Both of them bring simanim. We believe simanim and doraita, and therefore, since they're on equal footing, we won't do anything. Yaniach means we'll leave it until Eliyahu and Navi comes and decides or tells us whose it is. Simanim v'edim. On the other hand, if it's simanim versus edim, then inatein lebala edim. Then we give it to the person who brought the edim, that edim are better evidentiary proof and are better evidence than simanim. So from over here, it sounds like the edim are come to testify that the object belongs to this individual, which is like what Rashi said on the previous amud when it said that you bring a edim. Rashi concluded that was via edim shehu shelo. You bring edim that it's his. That's what it sounds like from Rabba over here. We'll see on the second half of today's daf that when it says edim, it sounds more like with the Baal Amor. Simanim. V'simanim v'edechad. One party has simanim, another party has simanim plus an edechad. Gemara says edechad come on to let the dummy v'aniach. The edechad is irrelevant when it comes to evidentiary claims. One ed doesn't do anything, and therefore basically you're back to simanim versus simanim, and that we already said was yaniach. Ede ariga v'ede nifila. They have different sets of edim. One set of edim says that this person either wove it or was the one who created the beged, and the other set of edim say that this person dropped the beged. Then we give it to the one who has the edim that it fell from him. Because just because one made the beged, one wove the beged, doesn't mean that it's his. Because the minans vune zavno mina shachrin nafal, that he sold it. After he had made it or after he had used it, he sold it. And the other individual who dropped it is now the purchaser and now the owner of it. So the claim or the edim that said that he dropped it is better evidence that it belongs to him rather than the one who says, or the edim that said that he wove it. Midat arko umidat rachbo. If someone gives the length and another person gives the width of the beged, tinatin lemidat arko, then you give to the part of the person who gives the length of the beged. Why? Demidat rachbo shuri kamisharila kan mechasila mara vekoi. So if you have a person who comes with one of them comes with the width, one comes in the length, we say they give it to the person who has the length, because as far as the width is concerned with the beged, one could, if they had seen it on the original owner, they could have estimated the width of the beged, which is not true of the length. When it comes to the length, it's hard to assess or determine or estimate what the length of the beged is. Now, it seems strange to us, because maybe if your shirt's tucked in or something to that effect, you can't tell. In their day, where they were seen probably wearing a single-piece tunic and a belt around it, it's possible that the length was somewhat concealed because you could roll it up because of where the belt held it in the middle. Maybe it rolled up. And the Gemara in Shabbos discusses the fact that people used to roll up the bottom of the regadim, and they used to let them out for Shabbos to be longer robes on Shabbos, so maybe the arko was not something was well defined or you could estimate easily by just by sight, as opposed to width, where you could easily see how much. You don't hide any of the width of the beged, you only hide the length of the beged. Now, if someone comes in midat arko, umidat rachbo, one person shows up with the length and the width of the beged, and the other person shows up with the midat gamav. Midat gamav, as Rashi says, is the Greek letter, gamav, that looks like a chet sofit, looks like a basically a right angle, and this person is giving the total sum, or the sum of the length and the width. He says the length and the width together equal this. But he doesn't give us how much belongs to the width and how much belongs to the length. He's not saying the midat arkoach, but obviously you give it to the person who can explicitly tell you what is the length and the width, because that's better evidence than the one who can just tell you the sum of the two. Now, midat arko, umidat arkbo, umidat mashkalotav. One person shows up with the dimensions of the beged, and the other person shows up with the weight of the beged. He's not saying the midat mishkalotav. Then we give it to the one who comes with the evidence or the weight of the beged. Now, Tosfos over here, we saw earlier actually, Tosfos mentioned when the Gemara says, oh, if Mida is a siman, then certainly Mishkalot, weight, is a siman. So when the Gemara said that, the Gemara says, oh, Mishkal havi siman, Mida minya nami havi siman. The Gemara says, how could you do that? Tosfos says, how could you make such a conclusion earlier on in the Gemara? Because if weight works, then certainly Mida and Minyan are going to work. Whereas, but Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Over here, the Gemara says, and Mishkal, weight, is a much better evidentiary claim. That means Mishkal is a higher form of determination or siman, identification in the object. And so how could you conclude just because weight works that the others work? So Tosfos differentiates here between different times when weight is better than dimensions versus when dimensions are better than weight. Tosfos says that when it comes to objects that are not normally weighed, weight is a better claim of evidence. And then objects that are normally weight, then weight is not better than Mido or Minyan. So over here, you have a beged, you have a piece of clothing. Knowing the weight of the clothing, it seems to be an absurd piece of information for a person to know. Because normally, people, when they look at a beged, they look at clothing, they look at the sizes of the clothing. It's width, length, whatever determines the size of the beged. Weight of a beged seems to be a piece of information that only someone who really owned the beged would have known. And it's such an unusual piece of information that it's, as a piece of evidence, it's compelling. Whereas if you have objects that are normally weighed, for instance, yeah, whether it's fruits or vegetables, and the person claiming that this is the weight, but since they're purchased in that weight, or since they're bagged for a certain weight, or contents are measured to a certain fixed weight, then weight isn't necessarily a better evidence than midat or kochbo, or to doing with width, or height, or numbers. All these other types of evidence would be on equal footing. The reason it's on better footing here in the Mishkalotav is because it's so unusual to know the weight of the beged. And now, Huomer Simanea Get, there's a get, we found a get, and now there's a disagreement. The husband says, I wrote the get, but I never gave it to her. And the woman says, no, he gave me the get, and now I lost it. So, if they both have the simanim and the get, we give it to her. So, Mar says, B'mai, what type of simanim are we talking about? Well, if we're talking about the dimensions of the get, maybe the wife or the woman saw it when he was carrying it around. If she saw the document, she knew it was a get, and she could estimate, or she could see what the dimensions of the paper were. And based on that, she knows what the size of the get is. So that's not a good piece of evidence for her. The siman we're telling here is that there's a hole in the get right next to this certain letter in the get. Now, the only way someone could have known that is if they read it. So the husband clearly knows it because he read it. He wrote the get, or he had it written for him and he looked at it. So that's why he knows it. But how would the wife or the woman know about that? Now, if he says, listen, I wrote it, but I never gave it to her, then she should not have this information. This is a piece of information she could only know if she read the get. That means that it was given to her. If it was given to her, then the get really does belong to her. Now, who omers simanei chut? Vi omers simanei chut. What happens if the get is wrapped up and there's a piece of string that's tying it up? The get up, it's wrapped up, rolled up, and then there's a string around it. So now, if he gives the simanim of this chut, and she gives the simanim of this string, we'll give it to her. So again, what are we talking about? If you're talking about the color of the string, whether it was white or red, right? Again, that's not a compelling piece of evidence, because maybe when he was carrying it around, she saw it, and she knew that was the get, so she knows what color the string was. So it's got to be a case where she knows the length of the string itself. So again, if she saw the string on the top of the paper, what she can know is the color of the string if he was carrying around. But the only way she could know the length of the string is if she actually opened up the get. If she opened up the get and then she knows the length of the string, that's evidence that she received the get at some point in time. So again, the evidence or the siman that she's giving is compelling because the only way she would have known this information is actually she had received the get at some point. So he says it was the get found or that was found in my, I don't call it my storage bin, my basket, wherever he kept it, a certain kli. And she says it was in that kli also. Now he didn't think, no, we give it to him. Why? My time, amida yodo. Because the reason she knows that was there is not because she got the get and placed it there, but she knows that she knows that anything that he wants to store, anything that's precious to him, like a little drawer that he has where he keeps all his possessions, all his important things, so she knows anything that's important or is a, you know, something that's unique, he'll place into that location. So if that's the case, she can again guess that the get was there. It's not because she got the get and placed it there, but she could have guessed. If she knows he's carrying around, there's a get around, her, in a best guess scenario, she'll guess 90% of the chance that it was in this place, so she'll just guess that's the location, and therefore her giving that as a siman is not evidence that she really received the get, but rather that she might have known that it was there or guessed that it was there, and therefore we don't give it to her, we give it back to the husband. Right now, the Mishnah, how long do you have to announce? Once the person has found the Aveda, he takes it in, how long does he have to announce about this Aveda? Ad kishir ishidu bo shchenav. Div Rabbi Meir. Meir says, until the neighbors know about it. Which neighbors, or whose neighbors, we'll discuss in the Gemara. Until the neighbors know about it. Rabbi Hudu Omer, shlosh regalim, you have to announce it for 3 regalim, v'achar regal achron shiva yamim. And then after the final regal, you have to wait another additional 7 days. Kedei sheyelech lebeito, so you go home, shlosha, 3 days to get home. V'achzor shlosha, and you come back for 3 days, so the travel time of 6 days, round trip of 6 days, and then when he gets back, he'll announce, whoever has that Aveda, I am looking for it, I have the Siman of it, so then we can connect between the two of them. So that's the way 7 days. So where it says, Tana, Shechene Aveda. So when we're talking about the Shechenim here in the Mishnah, it's Shechene Aveda, the Shechenim of the lost object. So where it says, my Shechene Aveda. What does it mean, the Shechenim of the lost object? Ilim Shechenim de Bal Aveda. If you're talking about the Shechenim, the neighbors of the one who lost the object, Iyodale, Lizov Lahadrin Yale. If he knows who the neighbors are of the person who lost the object, then he also knows who the person who lost the object is. If that's the case, let him return it to the person himself. What is he holding on to for him being machriz? So that obviously can't be the explanation. Ela Shechene Makom Shenitzei Bo Aveda. It's the people around the neighborhood where the Aveda was found. It's not simply the Aveda of the Shechenim of the owner of the Aveda, but rather Shechenim of the location in which the Aveda was found. So once they know about it, that's enough knowledge to stop being machriz, because if the other person comes back, say if it is from the neighborhood, which is a likelihood that it fell from someone in the neighborhood, and if he's not, he'll ask the people in that neighborhood if they saw this object, and they'll say, oh yeah, we heard somebody was announcing it. So if they're aware of the fact that there was an Aveda here, they can both, if it's theirs, they'll identify it, and if it's not, if someone else comes looking for it, they can tell him, yes, we knew somebody was announcing about it. And then 7 days afterwards, we have from the Gemara in Ta'anit, it tells us, when do we start saying in Eretz Yisrael, when do you start saying Tein Talu Matar Vecha, when do we start asking for Geshem? Right there, the Gemara says, V'shloshev Mar Cheshvan, on the 3rd of Cheshvan, Shalim et Hagshamim, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel says, V'zayim Bo, on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, which is our we pass in the halacha that we start in the 7th of Cheshvan. Why? Tet Vavyom Achar HaChag, 15 days after Sukkot, Kedei Sheyagia Achron Shvetz Yisrael in Har Prat, so that the last person who came up for the other regal will get home before the rain starts. So which indicates that there's 14 days of travel time for a person to get back. So how come our Mishnah is only allowing for 3 days of travel time, and yet when talking about the Gemara and Tanis, we're talking about 14 days of travel time? So Amar of Yosef Lokasher, he says, no problem, Kam B'Mikdash Rishon, Kam B'Mikdash Shenit. So the difference between the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. Why is that? But Mikdash Rishon, then Pishay Yisrael Tuva, in the first Mikdash, the population, the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael was massive. It was all the Jews were basically contained within Eretz Yisrael. That the Jews that were found at the time that they built the Mikdash, the time of Shlomo Melech, right? They were Rabim Kachol Shalayam Larov. They were multitudes like the sand on the sea. So Bian Kili High. So therefore, we need 14 days for them to all get back home. On the second base of Mikdash, were only a small percentage of the population that was put into exile, but in Bavel that returned, so over there, when it came to the fact that the people that returned, Ezra was able to enumerate the and counted the number of people came back, that it was 42,360. Right, it's significantly less than what's mentioned in Melachim in the first base of Mikdash. Lobin and Kliyai, then they only need 3 days to get back to wherever the population was that surrounded Yerushalayim. So I'm really Abayi does not like this distinction that Rav Yosef makes, because Vaktiv, Veshua Kohanim Valuvim, Vamishorim Vashorim. So all these people that came back with Ezra, they went and settled in Eretz Yisrael. Where did they settle? V'chol Yisrael Bariam. Right, they went back to the cities, every Israel and Ariam in their original cities. I mean, they went back and populated or repopulated the areas where the Jews had been prior. So it sounds like, or based on what Abayi is explaining, is that the population that came back in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, even though it was significantly less than the first Beit HaMikdash, but they still settled in the same area or over the same area that the first Beit HaMikdash. Basically, what you had was less density of population over the same area. So then he says, that's the case, it's the conclusion should be just the opposite. Mikdash Rishon, then Efisha Yisrael, when we're talking about the first Beit HaMikdash, when there were tons of people, Tuva, the Mitzavah, the Almo, there were tons of people, and everybody can help each other out, you know, people always giving every other tramp. Mishtachei Shayarta, you'll find the caravans or people traveling up to Yerushalayim. Dazli ben b'yom ben laila, driving day or night. Lo b'inan kuli hai. Then you can make it back and forth in 3 days. V'sagi b'tzalat yoma. Migdash sheni, when it comes to the second base Migdash, no fishi Yisrael, even though they're over the same expanse, over the same area as the first Migdash Rishon, but the density of population is much less, right? So in the Tuvah, lo mitzavet alma. So there aren't so many people to go together and to work together and to set up caravans and to travel together. Right, so there you can't find people are going. Day or night. Then you need 14 days because it's going to take you much longer to make the trip when there is less traffic that's making that traverse. So now we have the first distinctions made by Rav Yosef, who says in Mikdash Rishon it was 14 days because of the population, and Mikdash Sheni, the lower population made it into 3 days. If Abayi says the opposite, Mikdash Rishon was 3 days because it the density of the population allowed you to move much faster or have more frequent access to travel, whereas in Mikdash Sheni it was 14 days because the lack of density of population made it much harder to travel, or the travel times were much longer. Now Rav Amar says a third opinion, Lo Shna Mikdash Rishon, Lo Shna Mikdash Sheni. It's irrelevant which Mikdash. Lo Yitrichu Rabbanan Be'aveda Yoter Midai. Yeah, truthfully it does take 14 days, but it doesn't matter, because here this person is basically doing a favor. He's trying to return an Aveda. He's extending himself here. He's staying beyond the Rego. Beyond the other Rego, he's staying an additional days, right, when he's supposed to be going home. So the Rabbanan said, okay, 7 is sufficient. 7's enough. We're not going to make him stay here for 14 days or 15 days afterwards. It's just too much. So Amar Ravina Shvamina. From this Mishnah, we can conclude, Ki machris glima machris. When he makes the announcement, he announces, when somebody finds an Aveda, what does he announce? Does he announce simply, Aveda, I found something, or I found a piece of clothing? Or does he announce that I found a cloak, or I found a coat? Does he identify the type of beggar, the type of Aveda that he found? So, Ravina says, from our Mishnah, you can conclude that he announces glima machris, that he announces a cloak or a coat. Why? If he simply said that, oh, I found a piece of clothing, then you have to give him an additional day when he goes home. The 7 days would not be sufficient. Why? To check over his clothing. Because if you say to him, somebody says, oh, I found a piece of clothing, that I picked up a lost piece of clothing. Now, a person goes home, then they have 3 days to travel, plus they have an additional day just to look through their clothing. They got to figure out if they're missing anything from their clothing. Then they can come back and announce it. But what do we say? El Shmamina must be that glima machris, that he's announcing a coat. Why? Shmamina, because that means as soon as you get home, you can look quickly. You know about coats. I have 3 coats. You go look in the closet. If the 3 coats are there, then you have them. If you lost the coat, then you can go right back. But the fact that if we don't identify the object, you would need more time to determine if you've lost it or not. The fact that the Mishnah does not give you an additional time is indicative of the fact that the announcement must include a more particular definition of what has been lost, like glima, cloak, or coat, so that person can quickly assess whether they've lost it in return. So Rav Amar Afilu Tema Veita Machriz, Rav says our Mishnah is not conclusive in this area, even if he announces the generic Aveda or a piece of clothing. Nevertheless, Lo Yitrichu Rabbanan Aveda Yoter Midai. That's it. 7 was the cap. They said 7 days is enough for this person to have to stay behind to be Machriz. We're not going to make him stay any longer. So true, he might need another day, but we're only going to make him stay for 7 days. Tan Rabbanan. So now we're going to have a explanation of what is the process by which the person is machriz. Rego Rishon, only a regular will be shown. When he's announcing it in the first regal, he says, such and such an object I found, and this is the first regal I'm announcing it. Regal sheni, omer regal sheni. In the second regal, he says, this is the second regal I'm announcing it. Regal shlishi, omer stam. In the third regal, he just announces it without saying which regal it is. Vamai, lema regal shlishi. Why doesn't he just say it's the third regal? I mean, that's what it is. Why doesn't he just say it? So lo ati lechlufei b'sheni. So he won't get confused with the second regal, because maybe someone will come to think it's really the second, and then he has another regal, and he'll wait to get it at the next regal. Turns out it's the last one. So we don't want people to get confused between the third and the second. Amar says, well, if that's the case, sheni nami. When it comes to the second regal, why don't we tell him don't announce the time? Ati lechlufei b'sheni, because he might get fixed up. It's the first or the last. Amar says, doesn't matter, because hakaati regal shlishi. When it comes to getting confused between whether it's the first regal or the second regal, the person has time to come back in the following regal. I mean, if he thinks it's the first, right, and it's really the second, the individual is still going to come back and machriz the next regal because it'll be the third regal. So whether it's the first or the second is irrelevant because there will be a third regal. He will always be coming back. Problem is, if it's a third or a second, there's a big difference. If he thinks it's the second, he can come back next regal. The guy's not there because this was his third. That confusion will have impact on the person's ability to retrieve the Avedah. So we say in the third one, don't say anything. So the qualification of the regal, the person doesn't get confused between Shlishi and Sheni. Everybody just says regal, the person knows this is the final chance, and then they'll know to make the claim now or to come back quickly. In the beginning, a person, whenever they found a veda, they used to announce it three regalim, after the last regal, 7 days, so they can go back and forth 3 days and announce it. We said this is exactly what our Mishnah says. Now, Mishchara Beit HaMikdash, Shibanebim Herabiyameinu, after the destruction of the Mikdash, Itkinu Sheim Achrizim B'Bate Knesiot U'Bate Midrashot, so that the public, or where the people, the public thoroughfares, the public gathering places, like the Beit Medrash and the Beit Knesset, replaced the Mikdash. The Midrash was a central clearing place because everybody eventually had to get up to the Regal and had to get up to Yerushalayim. So making the announcement there was very important because that's where people would have come by. That's where they would pick up information. Once that happened, the Mikdash was destroyed. That not only did the Bate Knesset and Bate Midrashot become the Mikdash Ma'at in terms of the Kedusha, in terms of their spiritual side, but they also became the central place for Jews in an area to get together. So because of that, the best place to announce or give the information is in these central locations. After there was pressure from the Anasim, these thieves or people who pressured individuals, we're going to see in a second what that means in the Gemara, they were attacking that all person who finds an Avedah just tells his neighbors and people that know him, and that would be enough. What does it mean, the Anasim? That they had a principle or a law that all Avedot go to the king. I mean, they used to force all of Avedot that were found went to the king. Whether you found it and you wanted to get it back to the rightful owner, or whether you were going to find it and it was going to end up being kept by you, they didn't care. As soon as it was an Avedah, it went to the king. So that would prevent people from, first of all, doing a Shavat Avedah. The original owner would never get it back. And number two is, if you found it, right, and there was no owner and it was Hefker, really, you wouldn't be able to keep it. It had to go to the king. So Bisharabah and Nassim, if you announced you had an Avedah, it was gone. I mean, that there's no way that anybody would ever get their property back, because as soon as it was an Avedah, it went to the king. So Riyami Ashkach Udaya de Dinare, he was saw a jug or a kli full of golden coins. He saw that there was another individual watching him, or the other Girsi is Baru Ma'a, the Kamirtat, that he was shaking, he was fearful. Rabbi Yami was fearful of picking it up. Go ahead and take it for yourself. This person says, the La Persayana. I'm not one of those Persians. We don't have that principle here. We don't have that din here. You can take it and it's yours. We're not going to force it out of your hands. So now, Tarabanan, Evan Toyin Etab Yerushalayim, there was this special location in Yerushalayim, this called a soapbox, or a stone on which people used to get up, a platform. Everybody lost something, was a lost and found clearinghouse. If you lost something, that's where you went. Everybody found something, would also go there and make the announcement, so hopefully you could clear and you could exchange between those that lost and those that found. The person who found it gives announces what he's found. The other person who wants to find it, lost the Veda, gives the simanim, and not lying, you get it. This is what we learn in the So there, the Gemara speaks about Choni HaMagel, who davened for rain after they were in a desperate situation of a drought. He davened for rain, the rain came. But the rain came in such force and so much rain that it started to flood. I mean, it was excess of the rain. So they came back to Chonim Lagel and says, just like you prayed for the rain to come, you got to pray for it to stop. He says, I have a mesora that we don't, you're not allowed to mitzpalal rov hatovah. When things are good and when it's so good, you can't daven to stop it. So he said, no, but it's still, it's just way too much. So he said, once Yerushalayim is so flooded that the Evan HaTawain, this platform or the soapbox on which people did the lust and fan exchanges, if that's already covered by water, come back to me and then I'll daven to stop the water. So that, when it says, Nimchat Evan HaTawain, when it was already washed away, this Evan HaTawain, or was covered by water, that was when Chonim Lagel says, I will go back and daven to stop the rainfall. Right, Mishnah, Amar et ha'aveda, velo amar et simanea. Person shows up and says, tells what the aveda is, but doesn't say what it's simanim, lo yiten lo, we don't give it to him. For amai, and a person who's a thief or of questionable integrity, avvish amar simanea, even if he gives the identifying marks, lo yiten lo, we don't give it to him. Shneamar, quote the pasuk, adrosh achichoto, tell you, the pasuk pshat again, the pasuk is that the individual, the bal aveda, comes to claim his aveda, you don't give it to him. But no, that's obvious. So, achi drosh et achicha, you must, the person who finds the aveda, the motzei aveda, must now investigate the individual trying to come and claim the aveda. Im ramai hu imeinu ramai, if he is a man of integrity or not, and that will determine whether you give it back to him. Itmar. So this is a machlokas that we just saw in the previous Amud, where Ravina tried to bring reproof from our previous Mishnah. Now we have the basic machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. In Rav Yehuda, Meraveta Machrist. Rav Yehuda says, you just make a generic announcement, I found a lost item. Maybe even more specific, I found clothing. Right? Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machrist. You have to announce something more specific, like a coat or a cloak that I found. Rav Yehuda Meraveta Machrist, the Amar Glima Machrist, Chashina Ramai. If you say, I found a cloak, then we worry about the cheaters. Why? Because they know that somebody in their neighborhood lost a cloak. Some guy's announcing that I found a cloak. He'll put two and two together, and he'll say, I know what that cloak looked like. He'll go and give the simanim, he'll get it. Ramai glima machriz, you announce a coat. Ramai lo chashinim, we don't worry about ramayim in this way, in such a, where the guy's going to put the pieces together and figure it out, and then try to cheat and get the simanim and get it back. Dimke in ladavar sof, if you're going to worry in that far-fetched manner, then you're going to have, it's going to be endless, the possibilities or the types of cheaters that you're going to think of, and nobody will ever announce anything. So we have to announce enough specific information so it helps the person who's looking for Zaveda get it back. On the other hand, we don't want to give away too much information, so that compromises glima. We now said it's a cloak. It's not amarat aveda, but lo amarat simanea. He says the aveda, but not its simanim. Arze lo yitein lo. He'll give it to him. Imart bishlam aveda machriz. If he says that he announces the aveda, hakamashman, it's coming to teach us a mishnah. Afagav damar glima. Even though now the person who's coming to claim the aveda says it was a cloak. Ki lo amar simanim lo mahadrin. We don't return it to him unless he gives simanim. Cloak is not sufficient simanim. Eli Amart, if you hold like Rav Nachman, that Glima Machriz is announcing a cloak, Amar Yehu Glima, Vamar Yehu Glima, the person who found the Aveda says, I found a cloak, the guy who's coming to claim it shows up at the Bal Aveda comes and says, oh, I lost a cloak, Tzrich LeMeimar, that you have to tell me, Kolomar Simonim, if he doesn't give Simonim, Loma Hadrinanle, I don't have to return it to him, of course you don't have to return it to him, because he didn't give any new information, he's just repeating the information that you gave out. So Amar Safra, no, the Olam Glima Machriz. No, it could be that he announces a cloak. So Amar Yehu Glima. So he says Glima, Vamar Yehu Simanim. And the other individual gives Simanim. But what do we say in our mission? It says that he didn't give Simanim. So my Lo Amar Simanim. What does it mean he didn't give Simanim? Lo Amar Simanim Mubakim Dida. He doesn't give out the particular or more definable Simanim of it. Now over here, we can flip back to, there's a Tosfos on the previous Amud, on the previous Daf, on Chaf Zayin Ud Bet. Over there, Tosfos makes this statement about Rava's statement on the Amud Bet, but also makes it about our Gemara over here, that there are Simanim of Hakim, that the Gemara here using the term Siman Muvhak is not in the traditional sense of Siman Muvhak, right? Siman Muvhak is what we call a Siman Doraisa. Everybody agrees that a Siman Muvhak is a Doraisa, because it's such a great piece of evidence. It's something or a piece of information that is so particular and only can be known by the owners, that it's the overriding evidence that it belongs to them, and that even means Doraisa. There's also a set of simanim, which we're going to discuss in a second, but we also discussed earlier, simanim that are generic types of simanim. For instance, it was a person's law, short or tall, that a beged is white or red. These are things that could be apparent, they're not simanim that are unique to this object. There are going to be many objects that have the same siman, and those are simanim that are so deficient that everybody agrees they don't work. There is a set of simanim in between the simanim that are generic versus the simanim that are mufhakim, that are so a good or such piece, good pieces of evidence that it has to be that individual's. Those simanim in between is the machlokas that we've had in the Gemara, whether simanim are d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara is saying over here, what simanim did he give? He gave simanim that were the generic types of simanim. He said it was red or white. He said it was tall, it was long, it was short. That type of simanim, which is not a good enough simanim for anything. What he didn't give were simanim mufakim. Now Tosafot says again, simanim mufakim, you don't mean mufakim, that mean that a good simanim d'oraisa, but he didn't give simanim that are better than these generic simanim, those in-between stage simanim. He didn't give any of those, and therefore he doesn't get it back. And that's how the Gemara reads over here. Umay lo amar simanah, lo amar simanah, simanim uvakim. He didn't give the real simanim, but he rather gave those generic simanim. Veramai. If a person's a thief, a cheat, or a liar, then you don't give him to him, even if he shows up with the simanim. In the beginning, anybody who lost something would come, give the simanim, and take it. When it became, there was the population of cheaters and thieves exploded. Go and bring edim that you are not a thief, and take it. So here again, this what the purpose of the edim here, when simanim don't work, it sounds like the purpose of the edim are to vouch for the integrity of the individual. So again, on the previous daf, on the Chaf Zayin with Bet, when it says be'edim, Rashi, where they said, yavi'edim shu shalom, it brings edim that it's his, which we said, from Chaf Hedam and Aleph, the edim over there sound much more like Rashi. Over there, the Balamor comments on Rashi and says, no, that the edim there are to vouch that he is a person of integrity. And that, over here, the Gemara sounds much more like the Balamor, that the idea that you bring are to vouch for the integrity of the individual, not to vouch about the ownership over that object. The father of Rapapa, Irkas Lechamor, he lost the Chamor. They found it. They came before Rabbi Rav Huna. You have to bring Edim de Lavra Mayat, that you are a person of integrity. Batul, and then you can take it. Azalai Tisada, he brought Edim, Amar Lehu. So he said to him, Rabbi Rafuna said to these Edim, Yaditun Beit Ramayu, do you know if this guy is a thief? Now they had expected the answer, ask the question to be asked by Rabbi Rafuna was, do you know that this person is not a thief? Because that should have been the question. Instead, he phrased the question as, is he a thief? So they answered, Amalayin, yes. Because they thought they were answering the question of, he's not a thief, and they said yes. Instead, he had asked them the question, is he a thief? And they answered yes. So if the Avua, the Rapapa, looked at the Edim and says, Ana Ramana? I'm a thief? What are you guys saying? We didn't say that you were a Ramai. We had heard, we thought that the question of Rabbi Ravuna was Lav Ramayat Kamrina, that we thought that he's not a Ramai. When we answered yes, we thought he asked the question, he's not a Ramai, and we were answering yes to that. So I'm a Rabbi Ravuna, we believe these Edim, Mistarva Lomaiti Nish Chol Vatal Enafshei. We believe these Edim over here, because if we go and tell him to bring an Edim to evidence that he is a man of integrity, right, to verify that this individual can be believed, the person's not going to go out and bring Edim that contradict or evidence to the contrary that he's not a man of integrity. So it doesn't make sense that he brought these Edim in and they're telling us that he is a liar. So he says that what the Edim are saying makes sense, that they misunderstood the question, because otherwise why would this individual bring in Edim that don't support his position? Okay, next Mishnah. Kol davar shoseh ve'ochel yaseh ve'ochel. Any animal or object that can work to feed itself, then that object should work and feed itself. For instance, a chicken that can lay eggs. Chicken lay eggs that the chicken has to eat, so it costs money to feed the chicken if you're going to keep this aveda. So if they lays eggs, you sell the eggs and use that money or the proceeds to pay for the feed. That way, there's no loss of money here. On the other hand, if you have a animal or a object that consumes money, it takes wear and tear or care and money to do that expenditure investment, and it doesn't produce anything and it's all out of pocket, then you macher, sell it. Shenemar, because the pasuk says veshevotulo, you have to return the object to the individual. Make sure that he actually gets something back. Because if you allow this object to, you keep investing in the object, by the time the individual lost the object comes to claim it, there won't be anything left, because he's going to have to compensate you for all the investment that you made. So he's going to have to compensate you, that'll eat up all the value. So instead of allowing the value to deteriorate or to go down, we say to you, listen, sell it right away, keep the money, and then you can return the full value that you found. Now this money, what can you do with this money? The money, once you've sold the object and you have this money, are you allowed to use this money or not? You can use the money in the interim. Therefore, if they're lost, you're responsible for that money. You can't touch the money. You have to preserve the value for the individual, not use the money. If you don't lose them, if you lose it, then you're not chayev or responsible to replace it because you don't have rights of usage over this money. We'll see that in tomorrow's daf what that means. Ule olam, Mar says, wait a minute. The kol davar shel sev ochel, when the Mishnah says anything that is able to produce and feed itself, supply itself, you have to keep forever. So you have an animal here that lays eggs, and then you're feeding it. So fine, so from a monetary standpoint, you don't have to make any investment, but you still have to put in the time and the effort, and you continue to hold. How long do you have to hold on to this object? So, Amar Rav Nachman Shmuel Ad Yud Beit Chodesh, no more than a year. A year is a sufficient amount of time to hold an Avedah. Beyond that point, you can sell it and then return him the money. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Kol Davar Shel Sev Ochel, anything that produces, gives value, and then eats, Gom Parah V'Chamor, right? Like a cow or a donkey, who are work animals. They're behemot gasot and work animals. So therefore, they can produce and pay for their upkeep. Metapo behena yud beit chodesh. You work with them for 12 months. When we come elech, from there on, sham de mehem, you assess their value minichan, and you put the money aside. Now, on the other hand, if they are agalim v'sayachim, if they are calves or young donkeys, mitapel b'hem shlosha chodeshim, you only keep them for 3 months, mikam v'elok sham demeu minicham, since they are not really useful, they don't work, they don't really produce, keep them for 3 months, and then we say from there on, and you assess their value, and you sell it out, and you preserve the value for the individual. If zin v'targolim, when it comes to geese, and here will be roosters, these are males, so it's roosters, mitapel b'hem shloshim yom, you keep them for 30 days, mikam v'elok sham demeu minicham, you assess their value, and you keep that value, put it aside for the individual, because here these are not animals that produce anything and they consume a lot. When it comes to a chicken as opposed to a rooster, the chicken lays eggs, so a tarnagolet has the same classification as a behema gasa, like the parana chamor, which means that we will wait 12 months. We have a brisa that supports this position. When it comes to that classification of behema gasa plus tarnagolet, they're all in one category, like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak just suggested. You have to keep them atop b'hem shnei masar chodesh. You have to work with them for 12 months. Mikan ve'ilech. From there on, sham demeyem omenichan. You assess their value and you sell them out after 12 months. Agalim v'sayachim atop b'hem lamed yom. From it comes to calves and to young donkeys, metabol in 30 days. So obviously this is a stira to our previous brisa, which said you keep them for 3 months. Mikan ve'ilech sham demeyem omenichan. Then you assess their value and then preserve it for the Bala Veda. If Zimitana Goldim, when it comes to geese and to roosters, that takes a lot of care and a lot of investment, but it's way more than mischaro, than its value. Mitapel ben shloshimim, you keep them for 3 days. Then after that, you sell them off for their value, and you preserve the value for the Bala Veda. Again, this is a stira to the previous brisa, which says you keep them for a month. Here it says 3 days. So where it says, Kasha Galim Vesayachim, Galim Vesayachim. So again, calves and young donkeys are a stira between the two braitot. And if Zimitana Golim, roosters and the geese are a stira between the two braitot. So Galim Vesayachim, Galim Vesayachim, Lokasha. So how do we resolve the stira when it comes to calves and young donkeys? Hadaraya Vahadabituma. Has to do with whether the grazing ground is plentiful for them. If there is plenty of grazing ground and you don't have to expend a lot of effort in keeping them around, you can let them out and go and graze. So in that instance, you keep them for 3 months. But on the other hand, if you have to feed them, mean that there's no grazing out there, is no fields for grazing in, or it's a time of year where you're going to have to feed out of your own feed and keep them to fatten them up to keep them healthy, then you only keep them for a month because beyond that point it's too much tircha or too much expenditure. When it comes to geese or to roosters, that's not a question. Has to do if they're the big ones or small ones. So Rashi learns what's the difference between big and small. Big means the big animals eat a lot, so therefore you only keep them for 3 days because they're a ton of work, they eat a lot. After 3 days, you give them up. On the other hand, when it comes to smaller geese or roosters, there you can keep them around. They don't eat so much. Maybe a little work, so you keep them for a month, and only after that point in time do you sell them off. The Rambam, on the other hand, explains just the opposite. Because he says, no, they're avrave, they're already grown, they eat a little bit, you don't have to put a lot of effort into them. The small ones, you have to take care of them, you have to feed them because they're growing and they're getting bigger. So he says the opposite, that the 3 days is for the small ones, because tipulum muba, that's a lot of work for them and a lot of investment, versus the big ones, which you keep for 30 days because they take a little less investment than the small ones. All right, now the next gemara, v'sheino se'vochel, somebody that does not produce and eat, meaning that it's deteriorating its value by staying around because it's just consuming, it's invest. You have to invest in it and it doesn't produce anything. You have to see how you can return to him. They don't feed a calf to the cow, or a siach to the sayachim, or a young donkey to the donkeys. Ivzalevzin, or goose to the geese. Targola, targola, or rooster to the roosters. What does that mean? Rashi says that you shouldn't allow it to eat its whole value. Don't allow an animal to consume its entire value, because then there's nothing left afterwards. So that's what the pasuk is telling you. Preserve value. So you can keep it for a short period of time, but after a short period of time, it's better to sell it and preserve the value rather than have them eat through their entire value and have nothing to return in the end. Okay, we'll stop over here.